listening to The Christina Silva Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Christina Silva Show, another week where educating our veterans is a community responsibility, and we do it with such elegance this week. And the show is quite emotional with so many fires going on. We just want to take the first few moments of the show to thank every single first responder, our clinicians, our doctors, our law enforcement, and the communities surrounding the areas that are aflame right now. We just want to say a peaceful word of protection, safety, optimism, and of peace. And from above, the things that we cannot control, we should just let it roll off our backs and center ourselves with our purpose and to get to know our family members and our neighbors. Take some time out today to look around you and notice something that you haven't noticed in a long time. And think about the things that you need to know about loving your family members and appreciating the little things. You're listening to The Christina Silva Show. We have a very, very special series that we are opening with this month. And during the Veterans Day month of November, it is a special time to have an honorary salute in our hearts for our U.S. military. Our family members are so important, but our comrades are even more important, putting their lives on the line every single day with honor, integrity, courage, and esprit de corps that it takes to say our United States of America is still and will always remain free. And so that sacrifice is not free today. We have an amazing guest, the one and only Sergeant First Class Tasha Israel in the studio with us, and she is a leader. She is representing so many core values, and you'll be enlightened by her sharing her many duties as she hails from Florida to the Los Angeles Military Entrance Processing Station. Welcome to the show, SFC Israel.
Well, thank you for having me. I most certainly appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk to me today.
You know, we connected like the fires, and I wanted to have you as one of the members of the United States Army Active Duty Los Angeles Recruiting Battalion share with the world about what you feel in uniform sitting in the studio for those that are affected by the fires in any way.
Well, my heart definitely goes out to everyone that's affected, just to make sure that you stay safe and keep your family members close, because that's really all that matters.
Right. With so much digital technology, it's easy for us to stay in contact with even those that are deployed to the furthest points of the earth. We want to say thank you. And so when you think of the soldiers that you have served with from a reserve status to your active duty uniform, give a shout out to your comrades.
Well, hello out there. I am honored to be a part of the greatest force known to man, and even more honored to serve with the people that I do on a daily basis. So for everyone that's out there, just make sure you stay safe and look out for your buddy.
Most definitely. I would send a special thank you to all my Marine Corps comrades, and I have the heart of an Army soldier serving as one of your community engagement professionals out in the community. And to go army.com is to take a time to notice that a mentor or someone that cares about you in a fellow service, we are one joint task force. And so, like I was sharing as we met, a certain fire was ignited, and we just want to start with leadership and knowing that our services are so elite because we follow a certain set of standards. And in corporate hierarchy, those standards are called office operating procedures. But in the military, they teach us standard operating procedures. So share a little bit about your leadership and your new duty station here in Los Angeles.
Well, like you mentioned before, I work at the Military Entrance Processing Station in LA, and I serve as a U.S. Army Guidance Counselor, where we're considered to be the gatekeeper. We're pretty much the individuals that sit down with your applicants and make sure that all their talents mirrors their wants and desires of everything that they want to achieve while they're in the Army. The people that I've worked with since I've been here, the soldiers and the professionals that I've worked with thus far, are nothing short of phenomenal. So I am most certainly appreciative of my command, from Lieutenant Colonel Flood to Command Sergeant Major Knowles, to Master Sergeant Edwards, to my MEP staff, who on a daily basis sit with individuals that are joining the Army to counsel them and make sure that they get everything that they desire. So it's nothing short of phenomenal. I'm glad to be here.
It's all about teamwork and optimism and staying positive every day with such a great mission from the fires. The Army is in charge of 900,000 plus residents in Los Angeles, and we applaud you and thank you to the Rough Riders, the Los Angeles Recruiting Battalion, for excellence, and to all the recruiters that are responsible for entrance processing of recruits that want to raise their hands. We do want to say thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Flood and Sergeant Major Knowles and the entire team for its most recent recruits that were sworn in at some of our favorite America's pastime games. Salute to our Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers and a lot of the Army's partners, even the NHRA, for knowing how important it is to give that Hollywood edge in Los Angeles to those that want to willingly serve to keep our country free.
Indeed, indeed.
So let's take a little bit about your bio, which is very lengthy. It's very filled with higher education aspirations, and let the world know who SFC, that Sergeant First Class Tasha Q. Israel, really and truly is. Because the Army teaches us principles about core values. When you say the word integrity, there's nothing like being the word integrity. So from age 11 to 14, you had dreams, and you were an Islander born in Jamaica. But Queens, New York is a special place, and so are the mentors that raised you. So share with us a little bit about you before you joined the Army and the very special person that promotes your very success today. And then tell us about the first day you put your feet on the yellow feet to go to Army basic training.
Well, Christine, as you just stated, I'm a humble Islander. I was born in St. Mary, Jamaica, and moved to New York City when I was 14 years old. My foundational person, that person that pushes me on a daily basis to achieve things that I haven't dreamt of thus far, is my mom. She instilled in me quite the value or the determination, so to speak, that, you know, once you can conceive it, it could definitely manifest in your life. And that's how I live my life today. So that's Tasha before the Army. I wanted to be in the Army. My mom, given the fact that I am from an island, nothing is free. Even your high school education, you have to pay for. Her firm belief was the only way you have to be is for you to go to college. So I found a compromise, and I joined the Army Reserve while I was in college. And I finished my education. I have a degree in electrical engineering technology, and then I worked in the civilian sector for a little bit until I came on active duty. So that is Tasha before the Army. I wanted to be a neurologist, but, you know, plans do change, and the Army gave me the tools in order to pursue my education and become an engineer.
Well, you look absolutely brilliant and female in your uniform, just gorgeous in the studio. You have to thank Five Brothers and a Farm for all of the things you know how to do, including wiring things and making the computer do what you want it to do. Right, ma'am?
Indeed.
This is awesome. Well, salute to your mom and to my mom for teaching us the same thing, basically, about faith and integrity. You know, being filled with integrity is a big challenge. And you said to me when I first met you that integrity is doing the right thing when no one's looking. And so that is what I want to start with. And you tell us about the day you decided to join the Army. Things are so much easier when you do it with someone else that believes in you and you join the Army together. There's an amazing buddy system, even in the Marines, that when you join, you can trust someone else, like from your lowest low or your first day in boot camp, to make it all the way up the ranks to SFC. Share with us about when you decided to join.
Well, I decided to join, to be quite honest, because while I was in college, I ran out of money to pay for school. So that was my foundational reason to join the Army. They gave me what I needed. And not only that, I had a love to serve, given the fact that I came from a country that did not offer much, and I was given the opportunity to become whatever I wanted to be in this fine nation. This is just me saying thank you by serving this fine country and positively impact people's lives on a daily basis. The person that, quite frankly, I look up to most in the Army right now, yes, we did not join the Army together. I actually joined the Army a good 4 years after she did. Mm-hmm. I watched her as a specialist or a private all the way up to sergeant, and now she is a CW2 promotable. So big shout out to CW2 Promotable Coleman. Definitely appreciate you.
That is so great, because when it starts in the digital age with GoArmy.com, it's a little bit disconcerting to have the computer showing you the amazing, amazing opportunities the Army has to offer, from careers in electrical engineering, medical, even becoming a botanist or a space-oriented Army person. Even though you're serving on the land, you can know about artillery. You can learn about just basically any career, because the Army transcends. You chose to go into the Army and serve because service is something that you knew was your original purpose, and that's very important.
It is. I mean, selfless service is one that I hold very dear to my heart. You need people. You cannot exist alone. In order for you to be successful, you need mentors, you need confidants, you need people to motivate you, and quite frankly, tell you the truth when you don't necessarily want to hear it. So that's what the Army in a whole, and that's what the people in my life have provided over the past 34 years that I've been alive. So I definitely appreciate that.
And you've taken advantage of a lot of the components the Army has to offer, from reserve time and now to active duty. And you served first as a power generation equipment repairer, 91D. Huh?
Yes,
and you
I did.
Have just really aspired to use the benefits while you're in your uniform for higher education to have more educational goals, because the Army is a learning situation throughout the 13 years that you've been serving. Take us back to when you joined and you perfected the first military occupational specialty. What do you remember most about that time in your life?
Well, during that time period, I mostly served as a training non-commissioned officer. I was in charge of pretty much all the soldiers to make sure that education-wise they were good to go to advance to the next rank, and make sure that they perfect their skills. So that's what I did most. But one of the things that is most profound in the Army, a lot of people think about the Army that, you know, we are not interested in your college education. Newsflash, without your college education, you will not progress in the Army. So that's something that we highly encourage, that for you to seek a higher education in whatever field you choose to do so, not because you're a power generator equipment repair in the Army. That doesn't mean that you cannot pursue computer science in your college education. It's flexible. It's on you. The money's there for you to pursue whatever you want to do.
Most definitely. It gives you that platform to really foray in your talents. And we started with your purpose and your mom believing in you and telling you that anything you can dream can really become a reality. But there's hard work, self-esteem, and determination it takes, and confidence to keep pursuing your dreams and to realign your goals. And so we're going to get into another area that you've perfected throughout the Army, and that's being a master resiliency trainer. And we want the world to know what that means. Extra duty.
Well, with the Army, you have additional duties. It makes you a tad bit more competitive and flexible, from master resiliency to equal opportunity advisors to various things that you can do. Master resiliency, because the Army is very much interested in the soul or the mental wellness of its soldiers, not just the physical capabilities. So in order for you to get the most of your soldiers, you have to address that soldier holistically, whether it be mentally, whether it be physically, and whether it be spiritually. I think the Army has that concept down pat to pretty much create an environment that you can thrive in every aspect.
So while you're learning and growing in the first term of your duty, you also discovered a lot about yourself during the first 6 months of training. And this is my favorite quote from your bio: failure is not an option.
It isn't. Although failure happens throughout our lives, it's what you do after you fail. I think over the past year, I've learned the most valuable lesson that I could possibly learn throughout my life. Failure is a must. However, what you do after you fail, do you get up? Do you recover? Do you evaluate and self-reflect and dissect that situation and know what you did wrong in order to do it better next time? Failure is the creation or the start to success.
Most definitely. And as a master resiliency trainer in the Army, you've mastered the extra duty. And what master resiliency training does for me from the Air Force perspective, thank goodness that they trained me over the years to know these ABCs, is it equips you with a second nature of knowing that In order to instant balance your thinking, you can remain mission-oriented at all times. And when stuff hits the fan or it's not your best day, you can refer back to your toolbook and your playbook and know in the box of your tools which one to pull out so that you can persevere. Share with us a little bit about the Army's Master Resiliency training components and how each Army soldier is following the same set of principles, and that is what makes us so unified when it's time to fight the good fight.
Well, as you know, in the Army, we all have a mission. And in order for you to achieve that mission, you have to remain flexible. You cannot be so rigid to the point when an obstacle arrives, you don't know what to do and you become just totally lost. You have to be able to adapt and overcome. I think that's one of the most unique things about Army leaders is the simple fact that we think out of the box. We have an end goal, and at all costs, that end goal have to be met. So in order to get to that end goal, you have to remain flexible and learn how to adapt and overcome.
Most definitely. Well, adapt and overcome, it sounds so fancy when you say it, but when I remember back to my training in the military and pre-deployment training and also in basic boot camp training, we learned how to master being physically ready, mentally ready, spiritually ready, and socially ready at all times. And that part of being ready is happening naturally. But when you break down each area, let's just start with the physical readiness. Tell us a little bit about your training and how you keep yourself in physical shape.
Well, right now, physical fitness is an absolute must. Not only does it helps you to be a little bit more confident in the things that you do on a daily basis, it keeps you looking younger. I'm 34 years old, and if you see me on the street, I don't think that you will guess that I'm 34 years old. It allows you to challenge your body and push your body out beyond the limit that you think that's that limit. So it goes back to mental fitness. I think that anything that you do throughout life, it starts mentally first and it manifests physically in your life.
Do you feel different when you exercise by yourself versus exercising with your squadron or at the battalion?
Yes. When you exercise alone, I think that, yes, do you have a goal that you want to meet? Absolutely. But when you have that camaraderie and people to share that with, it not only create teamwork, it also create a bond between everyone that's working out. Because now, not only are you challenging yourself, you're challenging each other, and there's good and healthy competition.
Most definitely there is. And at the same time, when I'm working out by myself, I have to have positive self-talk. And I'm so proud that I was sharing with you a moment about throughout the day, I'm talking to myself, I have to admit. So share with us, SFC Israel, about the times when you talk to yourself while you're working out on that last mile of the 3 miles or getting ready for the PT test. What are you talking to yourself and saying?
On a daily basis, is you cannot stop. I mean, I think just about everyone have someone in the back of their heads that they're chasing. For me, I do have that person that I'm chasing where is either I'm going to level up or I'm going to pass that person. That's why I said healthy competition is necessary because it pushes you beyond your limits. It pushes you beyond what you think you can achieve because unless you challenge yourself, you're never going to know what your limit is in order to push past it.
Most definitely. Your own conscience and your subconscious would be that person. Iron sharpening iron. When you're in the run or in the race toward a goal, you have to constantly resurface and refocus on the original mission. And we call that instant balancing your thinking. But again, another principle is asking for help. We are soldiers. We don't have pride. We don't cry. Do we, ma'am?
That's a really good question. I think in order for you to be strong or to consider yourself strong, you have to know when to ask for help. A lot of people they misconstrue or misunderstand or think you're weak when you ask for help. But in actuality, I think you're strong because at that point, you have an entire team to carry you until you can stand up again. That's the beauty about being a part of this phenomenal team. You don't have to do it by yourself. We encourage that you ask for help when you need help and allow your sisters and brothers in arms to pick you up and carry you until you can literally gain your footing again in order to carry on. The army in a whole, we have this saying, you are as strong as your weakest link. So in order for us to be strong, we have to be able to depend on each other to go forward.
That is incredible. So we have the chance to be up close and personal and to share with someone decorated in uniform that is a guidance counselor to those that want to join the amazing U.S. Army at Los Angeles in El Segundo, SFC Tasha Israel on the line, sharing with us how to get connected, how to engage, and how to be a leader. And also knowing that a leader needs help, we implore mentors. We think of what the Think about the things our mom taught us, and we also look up to those who are in service above our ranks so that we can set the example and set our own bars higher and higher. In your career, let's talk about the more serious side of service with permanent changes of duty station. Take us from Florida to LA. How is the transition going for you?
This move by far, I think, has been the most challenging, yet still the most rewarding move I've done throughout my career. This is the furthest I've had to travel by car. I moved from New York City to Hawaii before, but that was a little bit easier. But being here definitely is different, but I look forward to it every day. Having the beach, having the simple fact that I am in the army, but yet still I live by the beach, that is phenomenal. And the people. I've enjoyed the people since I've been here.
Well, you've changed a lot of lives since you've been here. And in the second half of the show, we're going to know how very important it is to maintain a gender-specific training in the U.S. Army and how the attitude at the Los Angeles Recruiting Battalion has a special focus in today's age to really cultivate, attract, and invite more females to find the great benefits, resources, and rewards an Army career has to offer. And we have a special salute to one of the Marines in a faraway place that's training with NATO in the cold. So, SFC Israel, this is a debut on the radio for you. And I wanted to say thank you so much to the team at the LA Recruiting Battalion for having you today. Open up the show and a series where we can highlight some of the amazing careers of our female soldiers of all the eras of the military and all the branches of the military. We're going to really set the bar high so that we can show that we are real people when we're in uniform. And we call that clean riding style. It's the demonstration of some of the things you've already mentioned that are dear to you, helping others, being of selfless service, having higher education goals, also knowing how to keep your body fit and your mind trained, and making time for things that are important, like putting your voice on the air. It's going to be a time to salute those that you care about, mentors in leadership, and we want to thank you for deploying for us. So before the break, share with us one or two highlights from your deployment to Iraq.
So, deployment to Iraq, I know the greatest thing that I appreciated the most is the simple fact that I am a woman in the United States of America. There are no limits to what I can pursue and achieve. Being deployed allowed me to be appreciative of where I live and the opportunities that I'm given on a daily basis. And the simple fact that even in the Army, I can be whatever I want to be. There is no glass ceiling. So I most certainly appreciate that. That's by far the most valuable thing I took away from being deployed.
Yes, you mentioned CWO2 promotable. Congratulations, ma'am, for going up the rungs of a chief warrant officer's call. That is a very exceptional and special duty. And what does a chief warrant officer do in the U.S. Army? I would like to salute two of them, Chief Warrant Officer Fors, Singleton, and Cameron in Atlanta, Georgia. That's really exceptional what they do. They manage our Army's battalion of instruments, and they also manage leadership in training around the world. And I wanted to know if you could inform the world about how a chief warrant officer gets respect from the ranks and what their chief duties may be like.
Well, Chief Warrant Officer is respected. They are what we call SMEs, which is subject matter expert in whatever particular field that they had, whether it be military intelligence, whether it be logistics, whether it be signal, that is the person that is the subject matter expert, the solver of all problems, that leads, that quite frankly know what it feels like to walk in your shoes as an NCO, which is a non-commissioned officer, and or a lower enlisted, because they've been there. They've lived that life, so they can identify with the day-to-day challenges that you may face and be able to provide counsel, be able to provide solutions and answers to any problems that you may face. So yes, they are vital to our survival.
Thank you for being so open to share some of the more deep experiences that you've had in the Army with me, because I feel a little intimidated by asking these questions so directly, but your poise and your bearing and your speech and your voice are so welcoming. And I just want to say thank you for this up close and personal time. As a host, you always know that you're walking a fine line to protect the Army and its excellence. There are some areas that we had approved to talk about, but sometimes we have to be mindful of fellow soldiers and what they may be feeling. And so as a mentor and mentee to you, I would like you to share with me how you know when to push a button, or how to teach one soldier one way and have compassion for another soldier that may learn another way as a mentor.
I mean, every situation is different. I think that's the beauty about leadership. You have to get to know the people in which that you're dealing with. Not because one soldier is receptive to a certain style of leadership, that does not mean that the other is going to be receptive. We're in the business of people. In order for us to progress, we have to know our audience and know how to relate to them in order for them to respond and progress. So that's the beauty about leadership in the Army or in the military in a whole. It's a matter of getting to know people, know how they respond, and know how to relate to them.
I just love the bond, and I feel connected to the bond and the sacred nature that you care for your comrade, because in boot camp, we couldn't necessarily reach out, touch, and save a fallen soldier or someone that was going to pass out in boot camp or someone that was not passing their test to get to promotion. But there's a way that we can build each other up in private times, and that's the time when you really want to trust a mentor about something that you may be challenged with. Share with us some of the techniques that you would use if someone approached you that needed help, because you're new at your newest duty station.
I mean, you kind of identify their needs and know how to talk to them. It goes back to people. You have to know how to talk to people. You have to know how to motivate people to provide purpose in order to achieve that common goal, right? That's by far is the definition of leadership in the Army. You have to know how to motivate and provide purpose in order to achieve a common goal.
That's amazing. We call it active listening. Active listening is actually being aware with your senses of touch, taste, smell, and sight, and also hearing. And when you hear and see and feel something, they call it energy these days. Reach out and touch your fellow soldier. Stop by in the hallway or on the staircase and ask them, hey, how are you doing today? Reach out with a touch when it's appropriate. You know about those guidelines between Me Too and Me Three, but there's nothing wrong with eye contact and a smile. Take the time to look around you, even to your fellow friends or someone you may not even know on the street, and that's called PIE. That's what my mentor taught me, that's named Derek Gable. Positive interactive energy transfers, and so does negative energy. But as a resiliency coach and as a resiliency person, as an individual, we are all responsible to reverse negatives into positives, and that will truly make your day even better. And if you're feeling down, take a run or a walk out in the elements. Physical resilience can actually change the entire mood on your lunch break for the rest of the better day in the afternoon. Wouldn't you say yes?
Yes, I agree.
Awesome.
I definitely agree with you.
So we have one more personal showcase to talk about someone's life that you changed. I know you're very humble and you really don't like to tap yourself on the shoulder, but I've learned so much from you in a short time. I wanted to hear about one of the cases that you changed to an early recruit, and how they actually changed, matured, and reached a goal that you helped them to achieve.
Well, I remember one particular soldier. She became a brand new Army recruiter approximately 2.5 years ago. And I met her while I was going through station commander school, where I learned how to run a recruiting station. She had just transitioned out of the Air Force into the Army Reserve and became an Army recruiter. She had insecurities because her knowledge was limited as far as the benefits and opportunities that the Army had to offer. And this is something that she had to be able to relate and show people. So we develop a friendship, and just about every decision that she makes, and I constantly check on her, see how she's doing, every decision that she makes, because she knows whether or not she wants to hear the truth, she trusts my judgment enough to call me. She's in Cleveland right now, and we talk sometimes on a weekly basis to find out how she's doing and how she can do things better. So trust definitely, once it's established, you can go from there and mentor and guide and not even just trust, rapport altogether.
Most definitely. Rapport and trust is what the Army gives you, from the elegant uniform to the swear-in. You can choose an Army career today. Just go army.com to find out your interests. And it starts with the ASVAB test, maybe the junior ROTC, but our Army at Los Angeles is here for you. And to get involved and become a community engagement representative like me, just reach out to the Christina Silva Show Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and year-round at crsonair.com. To learn more about the Los Angeles area, all you have to do is go to www.usurek.army.mil, 6th BDE. Welcome to the Los Angeles Recruiting Battalion, with a mission to recruit with integrity the highest quality men and women into the United States Army while taking care of all soldiers and family members of our command. Today's show is centered around the accomplishments of Sergeant First Class Tasha Israel. And now we have a couple of special announcements on the Christina Silva Show, and we'll be right back right after these words. And a salute to Melvin Birch Bynum in the cold at NATO, our U.S. Marine Corps major. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Christina Silva Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Christina Silva Show is proudly brought to you by sponsors that care about educating our veterans year-round. With special thanks to DSG International, we want to elevate your brand 360 degrees. DSGinternational.com is a premier sponsor of the Christina Silva Show, with an effort to create merchandise that is making awards to remember and celebrate our servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces. And to Webster University, it's easy to continue your undergraduate degree and graduate degree education with webster.edu/LAAFB. Take a tour today and take a look at your transcripts. Webster's going to ensure that all your credits transcend to your master's degree. Webster.edu/LAAFB at Los Angeles Air Force Base. Civilians are welcome to graduate their education with Webster University. And to Jimmy Ramirez of State Farm in San Pedro, is your home insured? Fire insurance. Reach out to Jimmy Ramirez to protect your property today. That's SFA Jim. Google statefarm.com 24 hours a day. Save and protect. And we want to give a special salute to Ships Afloat and to the faraway places like NATO. And we have a special message to the Christina Silva Show from one of our greatest mentors and most elite Marines of all time. Take a listen. And the moment of silence is to remember everyone deployed. Did you know that you and everyone in the whole planet is related to a military veteran? Well, we are all related to U.S. military veterans. And when you're trained in the U.S. military, it's easy to remember the truth about the cost of freedom. And I received this message as your host, Christina Silva, United States Marine, from one of my mentors who took the time in a faraway place to say good morning, Christina.
Sarasa, which is a port here in Norway. I'm getting ready to load up a ship full of Marine Corps equipment. We're doing an exercise out here called Triton Juncture, which is a huge NATO exercise. We have various countries here to include the U.S. And the Marine Corps has a long history with Norway. It's a beautiful country, and we're enjoying our cold weather training out here. And this beautiful terrain is amazing. Snow-capped mountains, crisp air. It's pretty frigid up here. It was a great time. Hey, thanks for the shout-out on your show. God bless you and keep you. Simplify, Marine. Hurrah.
Semper Fi Marine. I received the video just before Veterans Day, and what amazing dedication, friendship, mentorship, and excellence. Every single time the video was shot in Soreza, Norway, you could hear the wind and the buffeting cold on the video. Thank you to NATO and the Trident Juncture 18 exercise. Take a look online at the commitment of our United States Marines. Happy birthday, Marines, and happy Veterans Day every day from the Christina Silva Show. Well, SFC Israel, we are just moving into an amazing second half of the show. I have chills, and I won't ask you to sing the national anthem, but there's a lady that sings the national anthem that is so dear to me. I've been watching her rise in her career with inspirational song. Her name is Dani B, and she sang the national anthem so well in a cappella. I can't even repeat to you how well I want to find her salute to our troops. She has a beautiful voice, and I have my faith as my core value, and you have exhibited everything that the acronym FAITH means to me. I created it by writing in my journal years back, and I told you there was going to be a point in the show where I wanted to surprise you with something about me so we could know each other a little bit better. But you are FAITH. You are a fearless ambassador intending to help. FAITH. And sometimes these things come to me in the middle of the night, much like the video came to me in the middle of the night from one of my greatest mentors. And it brings me to tears when he was on the show sitting in the seat that you're sitting in, along with a lot of your comrades like SFC David Boone and Sergeant Major Cynthia B. Reed. And then our very own Fernando San Giorgio from the U.S. Army Recruiting Battalion. It touches my heart for you to be sitting here today because I know how busy that you've been the last 2 weeks. But you are a faith-filled, fearless ambassador intending to help. You have helped me today open up the show about the importance of helping our women rise and have a voice when they can't have a voice. And so thank you. Thank you so much for being the leader.
Thank you for having me. I mean, I'm flattered.
Is it your first radio interview?
It is my first radio interview.
I'm so honored. I'm so happy that when I filled out the public affairs form, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the actual Army letting me get not only the photographer on the actual show, but the one that captures United States Army history that you're making every day. And I want to tell you about how much I was touched to turn on my TV. And I actually called you late in the evening. And I'm like, dude, guess what? I just saw Lieutenant Colonel Flood on the news. I never turned on the TV. It was 11 p.m. I turned on Channel 9. And here comes Veterans Voices, the show recap selects honorees. And it was our very own Lieutenant Colonel Flood. And you know in your purpose when you're doing the right thing, no matter what anyone else says about what you're supposed to be doing. You told me in the car on the way to the show, you're like, you just return to the mission, stay focused, and don't care what other people think. And I just wanted to say, when I was watching the salute, this gentleman has a Purple Heart. He is in active duty uniform. He's our very own Lieutenant Colonel Flood, standing tall on TV, on the NFL game, Packers and the actual Rams playing on the field. I'm rushing in to get into the game, and my new bosses are in the stands at the game. And you're never late when you're in your purpose. You're always there in the right lane. And if I had to pull a string to get into the stadium and end up in the hospitality suite capturing the coverage of his being honored by the Rams and the patrons, the stands, it was packed. There were so many Packers fans and so many Rams fans, but the whole place, you could drop a pin when the ceremony was happening to thank everyone who has ever served, who will serve, and who is serving this awesome nation. Doesn't that feel good?
It does. I mean, it's a call that less than 1% of this nation answers.
And less than 24% of women are serving in the Army.
Yes, indeed. Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes. And I look at one of my mentors being a community engagement respondent to the call to action that educating our veterans is a community responsibility for just average persons that want to still help serve. There's a way to recruit and tell someone about the Army and the greatness, even in the times that we live in. It is the most awesome platforming career you could ever choose. It's the most safe career to choose. And you are ready to fight because your life is already predestined. Anyway, you might as well follow your gut and do what's right and find the platform that's going to push you through a free higher education and push you through to the many careers and extra duties that will help you truly mature to earn a Purple Heart like Lieutenant Colonel Flood standing there. He's also a SAG actor. He's a new member of our American Legion, and he's leading with the edge of Hollywood that it takes to get the word out. And I just commend that and the likes of Ms. Janet Chin. When we met, the day that we met, she's like, how do you film that and write that and get that picture? And it was yourself and the female engagement team. I am so honored to be a part of the extended family. And I'm just so happy to see you here in the studio today.
Well, thank you. I mean, you mentioned the female engagement team. This is a brainchild of Lieutenant Colonel Flood. One of the first conversations that he and I had was about mentorship. And though, quite frankly, gender does not play a role in the Army anymore as far as leadership positions, jobs, it does not play a role. As long as you have the talent that the Army is looking for, you can occupy just about any position that you want to if you have the qualifications to do so. But one of the things that he said to me was, yes, can a male mentor a female? Yes. He can. However, there is a clear difference there. There are certain things that a female is going to experience that he cannot relate to. So he saw a need to bring about a female engagement team, to bring about awareness about females on a whole in the Army, given the fact that we are being placed in leadership positions because of our talents, and they don't see our gender. It's a matter of whether or not we can perform when we are placed in those positions. So he wanted to develop a mentorship program amongst females within his command. And not only that, to bring about awareness in the community, because one of the greatest reasons why females don't join the Army off the back is that they think that they cannot complete basic training, because basic training is too physically hard, or they think that they cannot be feminine after they complete basic training and their advanced individual training, which is their job training, and go out into the Army world where they think that they're defined by wearing a uniform 24 hours a day, and they truly cannot be who they are personality-wise. The Army will not change who you are at your very core in the sense of, if you like to hike, go hike. If you like to go to school, go to school. If you like to be in a punk rock band, go be in that band. At the end of the day, when you put that uniform on, as long as you understand the concept that you are part of a team and you're part of a greater purpose, we don't necessarily dictate what you do and or try to change your personality. One of the things that I love most is the simple fact that the Army enhances the qualities that you already have and capitalize on them. So in essence, your mind process, the way that you think, changes to the point where you think that you can achieve anything that you set out to do, and failing is not an option. So that's how the Army improves you on a whole. Not necessarily change the simple fact that, hey, I'm a female, I can be feminine. You can be whoever you want to be. Just remember that at your very core, you are a soldier. You're not a female soldier, you are a soldier. And anything that you set out to accomplish, you can. And the platform is there for you to do so.
Incredibly said. That was beautifully said. It's so awesome. And when you have patriotism, just like we were talking about the national anthem, when you become part of the Army and you make that decision, the bond of love and strength and power and courage, it just gets in your soul and you are connected all around the world. That's what we love about Army Strong. It means that whether you're in any duty station or you're in LA, Miami, in the island of Jamaica, Cuba, and all the countries around the world, even faraway places, the Army bond is the same everywhere.
Everywhere.
And you can count on that leadership and mentorship and resilience that we talked about. It takes continuing education, and just the will to succeed is to take that step, because fear is our biggest enemy. You were sharing with me in the vehicle.
Yes, fear, it is by far a fear coupled with the definition of what people think of you by far is the greatest robber of your joy, of your determination, of your will to succeed. If you don't try, you will never know. And if you have fear, you will never try. So if you don't try, are you truly realizing what your full potential is? Are you truly establishing what your limit is? If you don't try, you will never know your limit. So that is something that I learn on a daily basis. Not because we are soldiers, that doesn't mean that we don't second guess ourselves at times, but having to sit back and reflect and truly know who you are at your very core is what you use to overcome on a daily basis to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish.
Most definitely. Well, I have had my free first guidance counseling session on air with the one and only SFC Tasha Israel, sharing so much from her mentorship to what her growth pattern has been in 13 years of service with the United States Army. We have talked about our leadership, and now we want to talk about future goals. You've accomplished a lot. You have an amazing communication skill. You have an amazing demeanor about yourself and such a welcoming and caring spirit to help others. Share with us a little bit about your goals in the future, because I think there's one of entertainment in your future.
Well, I have a lot of goals. It's a lot. First of all, I truly believe in giving back. So my end goal when I transition from the Army is to open a nonprofit organization where I am able to help individuals that have less opportunities to realize who they are, whether it be addressing the mental aspect of them, because you know a lot of things happen throughout this world where people doubt themselves and or experience traumatic events to where they think that they're not worthy to take a seat at the table. So it's a matter of reshaping your thought process in order to send you forward. And not only that, one of the greatest things that is plaguing our nation today is obesity. So coupled with addressing the mental aspect of those individuals, I want to also be able to educate individuals about proper nutrition and the importance of working out, and have a safe haven for them, so to speak, where they can reformat themselves and know that when they step out into the world, they are unstoppable. Because once you believe in yourself, once you can believe it and you can conceive it, it can manifest and will manifest in your life. So that's what I want to do when I get out of the Army. And not only that, we're venturing into real estate. So I have a lot of goals, opening a gym. A matter of fact, here shortly, I am going to be competing in a physique competition in May. I'm putting it out there so I can hold myself accountable. So that is my first step to hold myself accountable, competing in a physique competition, and subsequently applying to become a warrant officer. So the opportunities in the Army, it's completely endless, where you can transcend from one rank structure to another. The opportunities are there. So. And only that, what I'm doing when I get out of the Army is completely different from what I'm doing while I'm in the Army. So I think that I'm a tad bit more marketable at that point.
Most definitely. I love so many of the keywords that you've used throughout the Christina Silva Show. It starts with self-accountability, confronting your fears, and also knowing your purpose and your goal to help others. And the spirit of volunteerism is something that we all have. It creates an energy that you matter and you belong. And also asking for help, reaching out to others, and goal setting, having things to look forward to, like extra duty as our color guard. Thank you for delivering the colors with your teammates. What the heck is edge dressing?
That's a funny question. Funny, funny question. As a matter of fact, now that you say edge dressing, we all put our uniforms together to do the color guard for the John and Mac benefit dinner that we went to on the 8th of November. And it's so crazy. We all sat there and applied so many different coats of edge dressing. Well, when we were done, you literally could see your face in our shoes. It was wild.
Amazing. Well, Army excellence starts with physical agility and also mental, social, and spiritual elegance. It's upright to be filled with integrity. And the way that the Army defines integrity is to do what's right, legally and morally. It's a quality that you develop by adhering to moral principles. It requires that you do not deceive others. And as your integrity grows, so does the trust others place in you. So thank you to SFC Tasha Israel for trusting me today as a special, special guest on the Christina Silva Show. You have a chance to say one shout out because we're going to wrap up the show here shortly. What would it be?
Well, I want to commend all the females that we have on the female engagement team here in the Los Angeles Recruiting Battalion. It's a set of females that are all from different walks of life, different profession in the Army, and quite frankly, have a motivating story to share on how they have transcended from one rank to the next, the different type of experiences that they've had, to the different mentorship. And they want to be able to provide that to the community as well. So just watch out for your female engagement team. And if you have more questions about the Army, visit the closest Army recruiting station to you, and we'll be more than likely to sit down with you and tell you all you need to know or all you want to know about the Army.
Well, MELPS is home to El Segundo, where they send all of our recruits that just swore in for their military entrance processing system. And we want to thank the FET because we are fit to fight as the female engagement team. And if you want to get involved in your community, it will mean so much to give back. It's part of patriotism and new Americanism to get involved with the Los Angeles Army Recruiting Battalion. The female FET doesn't have a combat function, but if found in a hostile situation, female soldiers are trained to react appropriately. Combat training includes basic patrolling and reacting to contact and improvised explosive devices known as IEDs, all the way through knowing how to mentor your fellow female soldier. Yes, male soldiers can also mentor female soldiers, but never the way than two women powerful in the field. I'm your host, Christina Silva. With SFC Israel, we want you to fight back and learn more about opportunities U.S. military service has to offer. You're listening to LA Talk Radio and the Christina Silva Show, saying peace out, be safe, and to all those that are less fortunate today, we pray for you that you know in God we trust in the U.S. United States of America. This is the Christina Silva Show, and we'll see you next week, same time, in a better place.
You're listening to the Christina Silva Show, only on LA Talk Radio.